Lisa Cooper Carlo, thank you very much for taking my call.
You're welcome, Levin.
Now, you are in London attending the International Maritime Organization's Marine Environmental Protection Committee's meeting there. One of the issues that this committee, it's MEPC 73, is considering is the issue of heavy fuel oil in the Arctic shipping. The issue of heavy fuel oil was addressed by the Utqiagvik Declaration, if I pronounce it correctly. What's your position? What's the position of the Inuit Circumpolar Council on the issue of heavy fuel oil?
Yes, that's right, Levin. I am here on behalf of the Inuit Circumpolar Council, and we came up with, as we do every 4 years at our assembly, a declaration. And this one that was held this past summer in July is the Utqiagvik Declaration. And there are many, many articles in that declaration, but one in particular calls for a phase-out of heavy fuel oil in order to minimize impacts on marine animals and fish, and to prevent disrupting Inuit harvesting, and to keep our environment safe from damage, environmental damage, and to keep it protected.
Mm. Now, the declaration calls for a phase-out, not an outright ban. Is there a difference for you there?
Yes, we would say that because the International Marine Organization had banned heavy fuel oil in the Antarctic, and as you know, this is proper and good for the protection of the environment in the Antarctic, where there are no communities. But in the Arctic, we have many communities, Inuit communities and other indigenous groups as well, who may be impacted by the ban of heavy fuel oil, but in ships that go through the Arctic. As you know, we have the transport of many, many goods that are done by ship because this is the least costly way of bringing in goods to the Arctic that supply the Inuit communities and other communities. And so we need to make sure that our communities are not burdened economically, and we need to make sure that the social and economic assessment is done before placing an outright ban. So though we really want the ban of heavy fuel oil to be done, for sure, we also need to make sure that our communities are not negatively impacted and that they don't end up paying for the changes that would occur because of a heavy fuel oil ban in the Arctic. Yes.
So now the MEPC or 73 heard and 72 heard two proposals. One was supported by Finland, which called for an outright ban by, I guess, 2021. And the other one was by Canada, which didn't talk about a ban, but talked about more about doing impact assessment and consultations with indigenous and northern communities, with the industries, with the territorial and provincial governments. Which one of these proposals is closer to you, to your position?
Well, I think it's fair to say that since we are many in Canada, many Inuit communities and other Indigenous communities in Canada, we are definitely working with and collaborating with the Canadian government to make sure that they have all the information needed for Canada itself to make a clear statement of their position on the ban of heavy fuel oil. On the other hand, we do completely agree with the ban of heavy fuel oil, but at the same time, we also understand the need to before actually making an outright ban, to make sure that we have all the information for even the Inuit communities to be part of the decision. I think it's very important that Canada is consulting with the Inuit so that Canada and the Inuit together can make the decision. But ICC supports a ban on the heavy fuel oil because of the need to protect our culture, which is based on the environment and on the marine mammals and the Arctic Ocean.
Now, the federal government has said that it's launching consultations with northern indigenous communities, I would imagine with the Inuit and the industry. Have, to your knowledge, have they spoken to national Inuit organizations in Canada? Have they approached you about working on these impact assessments? And what can you tell me on that?
Yes, they have been speaking with my predecessor at ICC, as he also came to the IMO meeting several months ago, and I know that they've been in contact with the Inuit Circumpolar Council Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What I've discussed with them is that we are looking forward to further collaboration and exchange with them.
Now, what's the meeting in London is supposed to wrap up on Friday? What do you hope is achieved throughout this week? What would be the big takeaway for you?
Right. Well, I think the IMO is a place that makes decisions that are related to marine transport. And for sure, in the north, in the Arctic, there's going to be more and more ships as the seaways in the Arctic are opening up. The ice, with the ice retreating and melting, and we are going to be expecting to see more and more ships passing through our waters. So what I am expecting to see here is the continued work, whether, you know, as soon as the impact assessments would be done, and I think it's important to have those impact assessments, especially as it relates to Indigenous communities and economies. So it's also very important then that IMO has a good first-hand view of how Indigenous communities live and the things that they rely on in our Arctic regions. And so I think it's pretty important and urgent that they begin the work now at the subcommittee level to develop the plan for the ban of heavy fuel oil. And hopefully there would be no, like, time delay, because what is expected is that this plan would be adopted in 2021. So my takeaway here is there has been some indigenous voices heard. There has been several countries expressing their support for the ban of heavy fuel oil, which I'm very happy to hear about, as it supports our view at Inuit Circumpolar Council. And hopefully by next year, we're going to have a clearer idea of what this plan to ban heavy fuel oil will be. And hopefully the IMO will be able to adopt it in its final version in 2021.
In terms of, you spoke about the opportunity to present your point of view at the IMO. In the past meetings with the IMO, between the ICC and other members of the Arctic indigenous communities, they had raised the issue of having a permanent voice for indigenous communities, indigenous organizations at the IMO. Was this issue addressed this time?
Well, it's not addressed during IMO proceedings and discussions, but I did come here to gauge, what is the indigenous voice here? As you know, there are indigenous people all over the world, and the International Marine Organization is an international organization, right? But the indigenous voice is heard through non-governmental associations so far, as what I've seen, like Friends of the Earth. We heard some Inupiat from Alaska making presentations about the banning, the work towards banning heavy fuel oil in the Arctic Oceans. We heard them speaking about their way of living in Alaska. So it was a real pleasure to hear them speaking out, because this is very much needed in such an international organization. And hopefully the Inuit Circumpolar Council, which is also an international organization, will eventually mark itself as a member of the IMO as well, and to be able to present the Inuit voice further in that position.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking so much time to speak with me.
You're welcome, Levin. Thank you for taking the time to call me and calling me at this number, because my cell phone was not so clear. Thank you so much.